So good evening, everyone. Really pleased to be here tonight and to be invited to talk, and very pleased to sponsor such an interesting event. And I have to admit, I've got a bit of imposter syndrome in here. I mean, we've had two really good speakers already talking about space science, and I should point out before we start that we haven't done any space missions yet. So, you know, Philtronic haven't actually done anything yet in that sphere, but we do have aspirations. You know, I think it's got an important part to play in the future of our company, so I'll explain why later on. I thought I'd start by talking a bit about Philtronic's journey into this market. We're very new, so you may never hear of Philtronic, and we've grown very fast in that arena. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how you access that new market. It's very daunting, I think, when you're a company outside that space industry, to work out how do you get in there, how do you play in that space, and it seems a very, very big step. So I'm going to talk a bit about our journey into space and what it's done for the company, how we're growing. And then I'll end up talking a little bit about how I think, you know, science missions can play a part of that future for Philtronic. So here's where we are. So what do we do? We make RF and microwave subcomponents, parts for payload systems, part for ground systems. So we're making that comms link. So typically the very high frequency data link between the satellite and ground, or the ground and satellite, so hardware in that sphere. And we're a company that's been in the RF and microwave domain for a very long time, so over 40 years. Startup that spanned out to Leeds University a long time ago, originally doing filters, hence the name. But I've done many things over time, very, very much involved in telecoms for a long time. And that's kind of that telecoms piece and defense piece is where I started. When I started in the company 3.5 years ago, we had no space business at all, so we didn't do any business in space. It's now by far the biggest part of our business. So we've gone on a journey from being no space at all to actually having a company that's really focused on that space piece with the defense alongside it. And some of the sort of figures are there. When I started, we were sort of ticking along at about £16 million a year revenue. That grew to £25.4 million last year. And the market estimate this year is £50.2 million. So really, really rapid growth. And alongside that, you know, growing the team as well, which is never easy. We talked about skills just earlier on, and we've grown from 110 people to 180 people in about the last 12 months. And within that, there's a lot of engineering content, so that's going from 30 people up to 80 people. So a lot of engineering talent to find across the UK. And part of the way to do that, I think, you know, we're a northeast company headquartered in the northeast of England. We have a factory up in the northeast of England. We also have to have satellite operations then throughout the UK to try and attract the best talent to come into Philtronic and help us with the design space. Another part of that journey for us in terms of growth, we're moving to a new head office. So we have a site on Net Park in Sedgefield, in County Durham. And we're just about to move in later on this year to another bigger factory. So it'll be twice the size and six times the manufacturing capability to try and grow with the business. You know, so we've seen this massive growth. And I guess what's given us the ability to do that is what people term the new space market. You know, so it's this flip away from geotype satellites, which are very complex, very hard to make, very long time scales, to a new market where we have massive constellations of thousands of satellites potentially. So people like SpaceX, we've mentioned already. I'll mention a bit about SpaceX later on and how we got in with them. But they've really flipped the market on its head for that comms-based satellite. So there's these broadband constellations, the communication satellites, has really been thrown on its head, which is good for someone like us because we'd never have the opportunity to get into that market without that. What they're looking for now is a complete shift in what they're asking for companies. It's now not the highest quality, but what they need is a minimal viable product that'll work over a lifespan of 7 or 10 years in low Earth orbit and will do the job. You know, so we come from a volume manufacturing telecoms background. We've leveraged that knowledge, that technology, all the things you've learned in that industry in terms of scaling volume, scaling manufacture, how we've transitioned that into the space market. Let's jump twice. So talking a bit about SpaceX, and so this was our first steps into the space market, really, actually, and you know, that's a pretty big one. We're a big company. It's on the ground segment, first of all. That's the easiest one to get into. So the ground segment is less challenging, obviously, than payload. And again, I'll come on to that as our growth journey continues later on. But we're working with SpaceX, and we announced a strategic partnership with SpaceX in April last year. That's a pretty big deal, I think. You don't hear many companies announcing partnerships with SpaceX. They are massively vertically integrated everything they can do themselves in-house, they will do in-house. So that means what we're doing is pretty special, I think, at Filtronic. We have some real core capabilities here in the UK in a fairly small SME company that are competing with the best in the world, really, at doing what they're doing. So we were chosen, it says there, for our leading performance in millimeter wave solutions. So we work at very high frequency. And because we come from that communications background, we've always had to be at the leading edge. You always have to be at the cutting edge of technology, because to be viable in the comms market, you have to be doing something pretty niche in the UK. Everything else gets done in Asia, where the cost point is lower. So we, for the last 10, 15 years in that market, we've been progressing our technology, really at the cutting edge of that technology, and developing, you know, very high frequency links. So the stuff we're selling into SpaceX, for example, is E-band, amongst other things. But E-band is 71 to 86 gigahertz. It's a very, very high frequency. It's very hard to manufacture. Well, it's very hard to design, first of all. But then you have to manufacture it and scale up manufacture the volume. It's very difficult to do. There's lots of people who can make one or two of these things, and probably SpaceX among them. But then to scale that into real true volume and actually be able to do that for a full constellation of satellites, it's pretty hard to do. And there's some nice words there from Mike Nichols at SpaceX, you know, basically saying that we've been a really good partner for them. They move very quickly. And, you know, that's why they've turned the industry on its head. You know, SpaceX move really, really quickly. And we've managed to do that with them. You know, so we've managed to flex our engineering capabilities. And while growing the team, like I said, from that 30 people to 80 people, it's pretty astounding, really, the engineering team kept up and managed to keep that pace with SpaceX and start that journey. So what next after the hardware, after the SpaceX story? That's obviously given us a good platform. It's given us some good revenue growth and some good income for the company. What we have to do then is make that work for the company and expand beyond SpaceX to other constellations, to other satellite companies, and grow that business. And that's what we're working really hard to do now, and diversification is really key. So part of that diversification story is moving into payload. Thankfully, we had support from UK Space Agency and ESA via the ARTES program to start to develop that hardware. And I think it's fair to say if we hadn't had that support, we could never have done this project. You know, we couldn't have taken on that level of risk and that level of investment without the support of ESA and UK Space Agency to do this work. And what it's allowing us to do now is build new building blocks, new capabilities that we can leverage in the new markets. And it's really transformational, I think, for the company. So we started an ESA ARTES program back in June 2024. Quite a big program, so 5.3 million euros, with 3.7 million of that funded by ESA. And beyond that monetary value as well, working with ESA has been really, really good. They have a whole team of engineers. You know, so when you win funding from ESA, it's not just money on a plate and then go off and do it. They have a whole team working with you to develop that capability, to build up the skill sets, to build up the knowledge that sits behind that, to become a true space company. So really fundamental change from the funding we've had from that. So these are the sort of things we're developing on the right-hand side there, the slide. So payload modules that sit in the satellite and then do that communication from satellite down the ground. So very high frequency data links, very lots of data from satellite down the ground. So what's next on the horizon? And this is where we'll get finally to a bit of science mission, maybe. We have a crowded R&D roadmap at the moment. We have lots of people telling us they want to work with us. You know, so we've got fairly famous, I think, in the space industry from our SpaceX contacts. So lots of people are talking to us. Lots of people are giving us ideas of where we should shape products. So we have a good R&D roadmap for space, and some good investment internally to fund those sort of programs. And we're fortunate to say on the ground side and the payload side, but cross-domain and cross-frequency, so looking at different frequencies, actually moving down in frequency, interestingly, for space, whereas we were always moving up in frequency for telecoms. But there's market play there for us now at low frequencies where we can actually play in a good way. And then, obviously, opportunities across commercial and MilSatCom as well. So, you know, we're keeping a watching brief on what the UK is doing in terms of the MilSat capability. And because of the sort of capability we have and the engineering skills and the manufacturing skills we have in a UK location, we think we're well placed again to play in that market. So in terms of future UK Space Agency and ESA programs, we just announced as a partner on Viasat's D2D program. So another ESA funded program looking to get data from a satellite direct to your mobile phone. So quite exciting technology at the bleeding edge again of what people are doing. And it's really good to be involved in that new project and try and scale from there as well. So then science missions, I haven't mentioned yet. We haven't done it yet. But we're really keen to be involved, actually, and for a number of reasons. And I think it was mentioned earlier on about that visibility of where to go and the time to actually invest in new technology that's going to be transformational. That's very hard to do for commercial companies. What they want is here and now. They're driving us to do things in 6 months' time, in 12 months' time. What we've got to keep an eye on as a company is what's in 5 years' time, what's in 10 years' time, what are we selling then? And these science programs give us that guidance. You know, it's the cutting edge of technology. It gives us that time and money to invest in real good capability that we can then leverage into the commercial market and the defence markets as we go in 5 and 10 years' time. So that sort of visibility and all the work that ESA and UK Space do in trying to drive what the new technology looks like, what the next generation looks like, is giving that real feedback in real time to industry like us, telling us where we need to be, and then hopefully funding us and being involved in the programme at that early stage, letting us build product, building blocks that we can then take into the commercial sphere and then turn into revenues as we go forward in time. So I'll probably stop talking and then we can have some questions and get some interaction going.